B-Pod Studios.
Sports Hub. They get you going.
In fairness, we have to make up for not watching the game.
Every day.
I might watch a baking show.
Toucher and Rich.
What do you expect me to do? Watch every basketball game?
98.5, the Sports Hub.
This thing right here is letting all the ladies know what guys talk about. You know, the finer things in life. Check it out. That dress so scandalous, and you know enough can handle it. So you're shaking that thing like who's the ish, with a look in your eyes so devilish. You like to dance on the hip hop spots, and you cruise to the cruise like an actor. Not just urban, she liked the pop, cause she was living la vida loca. She had dumps like a truck, truck, truck. Thighs like what, baby, move your butt, I think I'll sing it again. She had dumps like a truck, truck, truck.
98.5 is the Sports Hub. We're touching Rich. It's an all but Wednesday. And this was a song that Joe says might have led him down the primrose path of loving, loving, loving large butt cheeks.
Fred, there is a an interview that Cisco did. Years ago, I guess, when that song, what do you think it is, right? 2002, 2003?
Maybe 99. I think I was in high school.
I don't know. Maybe. But it was like early 2000s.
Yeah, 1999.
99. Okay, all right. So, you know, boy, who'd have thought that he wouldn't have gone on to, you know, have years and years of success? But Cisco did an interview, I think it was with Rolling Stone magazine, where they were asking him about what inspired you to write the Thong Song, and what ended up happening after that was a gentleman who I think imagines himself as a Shakespeare writing his finest sonnet. And the explanation as to how he was able to think of such brilliance, they was asked, you know, what was the exact moment that the Thong Song came to life? And he said, well, it's a funny story. I went on a date with this young lady, and after the date, I'm hanging out. I'm getting to second base. Next thing, she takes off whatever clothes she had on, and for the first time in my life, I saw a thong, or what was expressed to me as a thong. I didn't know what it was.
Ooh.
All I knew was that it was glorious. I was at a loss for words. I was like, what? What is this? What is that? She was like, you know, a thong. And I was like, ow, it's a thong? Pretty much. I don't even remember what happened the rest of that night because I could not wait to get back, you know, like around my friends and tell them of this glorious material that I witnessed. And the person asks, what did your friend say? He goes, I told my friends, gather around, I'll tell you a tale. So all my friends leaned in and huddled around. I explained the whole story and I was like, oh. And then she showed me this thing that she called a thong and everyone was like, oh my goodness. And then it was like all of a sudden everybody had something else to do. Like, yeah, man, I got a cake in the oven. Everyone was basically on a pilgrimage to go and hopefully see this thing I was telling them about, this thong. So I go away and I'm working on a song. And then a friend of mine came back and, man, he seemed really, really enamored, really happy about something. He was like, man, I just went out with this girl and guess what she gave me? I was thinking she gave him some kind of present. And he just went, that thong, the thong, thong, thong. For the next day, that little melody just kept ringing in my head, and every time I would sing it, it would make me smile. When did you realize you could use these lyrics? Well, they sent me a producer sent me a CD with a bunch of tracks, and when I got to the end of the CD, there was a 30-second snippet of a beat with Eleanor Rigby by the Beatles, and I immediately called the producers and asked them if they could stretch into, like, you know, 3 minutes. The beat was rocking, you know, and the implementation of the sample with the classical-sounding violin was great. And I said, this is where I make my masterpiece. He said,
well, Eleanor Rigby, if you don't know, had a giant ass.
It's true. It's true. By the way, I didn't even realize till now that that is part of Eleanor Rigby. How did he get the licensing of a Beatles song?
Was that before you needed it? Was that before the famous Bismarcky case?
Oh, here. Okay. So they actually ask him, like, how did you get it? Well, and by the way, he goes, we were figuring out how to write the second verse. I kind of said, what if I sang the second verse an octave higher and made it sound as if it was different lyrics? I mean, he's really getting into the intricacies of the thong song.
Right. I mean, there's a lot there.
They said, how did you get around the fact that Eleanor Rigby was somebody else's intellectual property? And he goes, the biggest conundrum we had was the fact that Michael Jackson held the rights to the Beatles catalog. catalog. Now, you know, Michael Jackson influenced a lot of us artists, but I didn't want to have to pay him for my song. So I was faced with the task of rewriting Eleanor Rigby because I didn't want to get sued by Michael. So I basically rewrote the string line in the song, and then we hired a cellist and a violinist who played the music in Star Wars. I mean, they really are getting deep into the construction of the thong song.
I wonder if they have him with his plume writing out the string parts for the orchestra that comes in.
They said, does it ever get boring singing the thong song? And he goes, man, every time people hear those violins in the beginning, it's like electric in the air.
All the people stop stirring the chili for the contest that he's playing at the fair. All the guys at the ring toss turn around and go, oh, Cisco's about to play.
Right. Everyone puts down their turkey leg at the Big E and says, I can't wait to find out what Cisco's got going on.
So scandalous.
He said, every time I perform it, the energy to anticipate the portion of the song where I get to my signature riff, say yeah. You can just feel the anticipation in the crowd. Everyone's getting goosebumps. And when I hit it, it's like the climax. You know, the big payoff at the end. It's always like, hurry up and sing thong song so I can go home. Mm. Everywhere we play, that same electricity resonates throughout the planet. This is something he's actually saying about
throughout the planet.
Throughout the planet.
Indeed.
That's right.
Well for one young Joe like Murray, he can relate to it.
Oh, yeah.
Well, you know what's funny? I wanted to bring this up. When I was growing up on MTV, remember the show The Grind?
Yeah.
Yes.
I'd come home at like 2:30 and it would just be like music and the grind. Well, I don't think like thongs were a big thing yet. I don't think the thong was like... Well,
obviously not if Cisco didn't know.
No, I mean, listen.
I mean, he invented it, basically.
But, no, I mean, there were thongs in the 80s. And you can always tell, by the way. I talk about this all the time, but you could tell 80s butt, 90s butt, and then like current butt. Like, you can tell, like, oh, that's a good 80s butt right there, right? You ever notice this? You ever watch like, an 80s movie?
Yes, because butts have what is considered attractive with asses has evolved.
Yes, it has.
Joe, it is. Women are allowed to let loose a little bit down low. Before, women would be, they would work. They would try to get the thigh master. They would do everything they could to shrink their butts. But now... The girl that you know from Kid the Loon, she's one of these trailblazers that's saying, no. Look at how big this butt can get. It can be scandalous.
Scandalous.
I mean, it's so actually.
Another man, he can handle this.
It's a scandal every time her butt shows up. It's a whole scandal. Now,
I'm telling you though, that 80s butt to the 90s butt was a big transition. Now it's
the aughts are what brought you the hugest of butts. Now it is I'm telling you, there's a Brockmire where it's his face and he's laying down and he starts talking about the evolution of the ass and the camera just widens and widens and widens. And he's laying on this giant black chick's butt. His head is just resting on her ass. And he's talking about how, you know, tastes have changed. And now people like Joe Murray are carrying the flag for big, giant, fat asses. He loves them.
He's a lobster.
He's a lobster.
That's right.
He lives at the bottom of the sea.
But really, if you ever get a chance, watch like an 80s flick, then like watch like a 90s rap video. You know, and then like the 2000s is just all changed, man. Like it just, and nowadays it's like.
But Sir Mix-a-Lot was in the late 80s?
That's 80s like butt right there.
Yeah, but how much different is the Sir Mix-a-Lot butt than like.
From the Rex and Effects butt?
Yeah.
Big time.
Oh, really?
Oh, okay. Yeah.
See, I have not noticed the intricacies.
I mean, have
the
you noticed,
details.
Like, you mentioned the big butts, but the Anaconda from Nicki Minaj?
Okay, all right. But then things got comical after a while. Like, then it was like implants. Like, butt implants became a thing.
Angelina from the Jersey Shore is ahead of butt implants.
Yep, she's got butt plants.
Is that what they're called?
They're called butt plants. Because, you know why they're called butt plants?
Why?
Because Joe Murray wants to plant his face right in them. That's why. And here's my daughter. Hey. to say, how do you do?
She likes Jersey Shore.
Yeah, she does like the Jersey Shore. And she's holding the kitten. Mm-hmm. Hello. We're just talking about butts. Don't worry about us. You got anything to say about butts?
What Deion Sanders say about butts?
He says he's scooping them up.
Scooping up the ladies with the big spots. He did not like when I asked him about his song lyrics. He did not like that.
But nowadays, he could barely, he couldn't even hold them.
You got to call him Coach big. Now. You know, Coach Butts.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Well, listen, Cisco had influenced, if no one else, he's influenced Joe Murray in his proclivity towards giant, giant, giant butts.
Scooping up the women with the biggest butts.
And he DMs girls on Instagram.
I do not DM girls. I don't do that. I just see them and I say, Callan.
Okay. I thought you had DM'd with the
Well, it's
one
like
girl.
A friendly. I know who they are.
I didn't say that you were doing anything wrong. Oh, okay. I said that you DM'd them.
I wonder if, like, I mean, this is something that wouldn't work for the radio, but if you could just, like, you show Joe the butt and he tells you what decade it is. Decades of butts, because that's his creation. He said he could identify the decade by the butt.
I've had this conversation. Yes, it is. It's a real thing.
Well, at one point in the show, I can just Google big butt models and ask if he knows who they are.
So it's a touch or rich or a lock for another Marconi with this morning's segment on the historical evolution of butt fashion. Bonus points for Fred working in the word aughts to the dialogue.
Yes. Okay, the 56 best butts on Instagram.
Oh, God.
All right, Joe. Well, some of these are no butts at all. Okay. Megan J. Krabby.
No, I don't know who that is.
Okay.
Megan J. Krabby. That's another lobster theme? It's just,
Anna Cherry.
Nope.
She's got a big rump. Okay, this is a big one, too. Tony Mitchell.
No.
Tony Mitchell.
Yershina Aliyah.
Nope.
Okay. All right, I got to put plus-size models. This is not your wheelhouse.
Yeah. I mean, right. This is. I mean, are you a true butt connoisseur? I'm not sure. It doesn't sound like it.
Again, there's the skinny butt.
No, he likes the plus-size
the plump
models.
Butt, and then there's the rump. I don't know.
13 famous plus-size models. All right, here we go. All right, here we go, Joe. All right, here is the questions. Kate Wesley.
Heard of her. Heard of her.
Georgia Pratt.
There's talk on the streets about Kate Wesley.
Yeah, yeah, she's part of that whole Ashley Graham thing. Yep.
Yeah, yeah, she's part of that whole thing.
Tess Holliday, she's part of that.
Barbie Ferreira,
yeah.
Yeah, okay.
She's on the rise.
She's a shooting star. Put your money behind.
If you got butt stock, I'd put stock in her butt.
All right, Tara Lynn.
It's like this is the New York Butt Exchange.
Yes,
so I would invest in that butt stock.
Paloma,
she's the Tesla of butts. Just throw all your money in it.
Well, she's going to the moon. Paloma Elsa.
I don't know who that is.
Candace Huffin.
She's not really that. I mean, whatever. I guess
you don't like that. That's not, she's not fat enough. Precious Lee.
Yes.
Okay.
Is she blowing up? Or?
You mean, Tess Holliday is probably one. Right. Gabby Gregg.
Do I buy or sell on Precious Lee? Is it a bear market or a bull market?
A bear or bull? I don't know, man. That's a tough one.
It's
there.
A big market. Iskara Lawrence.
Nope.
Nadia Abulson.
Oh, I know who she is. Yep. She might be out of your guys' league, I think.
I don't think any of this is in my league. I don't even think we're in the same sport.
I only know her from Instagram. I know who she is.
Denise Bedot.
She's kind of skinny, a little smaller, I would say.
I'm going to disagree. Tess Holliday.
That's the one, yeah. She's in. I'm in.
Okay, you're in because she's heavy.
I like. Do you see a theme here?
Yeah, yeah. You like fat chicks?
No, I don't like fat chicks. I'm a big man, right? I need
Tess Holliday is a heavy woman.
She's. I mean, yeah, yes. Yep.
Okay.
Just put all the chips in the middle of the table.
I have a certain type, and that's model the way it goes.
Somebody said, Joe is the Wolf of Wall Street of Instagram butts.
Yeah, so let's start doing the chest, right? Instead of slapping the butt for the ripple.
Okay.
Butts, 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 butts. Joe knows butts.
I just Googled the fattest model in the world. All right, here we go. The world's fattest model. All right. This is Tess.
Yeah, Tess, yeah.
She's considered the world's fattest model. Wait, you're saying she's not fat?
No, I'm saying she's somebody that when you named her, I knew exactly who she was.
Okay. Because she is easily 300 pounds.
She's around, hovering around 300, yes. Yeah. That ass doesn't help.
But she's a beautiful woman to you.
Beautiful. Oh, yeah, dude, they all are. I mean, listen. You can be.
Rich. Do you know how much that
I
much?
Just,
rule?
I keep thinking of you. I need to Photoshop as you as like a banker or like an investment guy standing on the floor of Wall Street, just pointing at butts with like sell, buy, sell,
but
buy.
Can you imagine? Can you imagine being a girl and just being like, Joe's going to think I'm the greatest. I weigh 300 pounds. Like I can do. I can eat and never move, and Joe will enjoy every ripple. Of every wrinkle of flesh.
Somebody said he's investing heavily in the new NFTs, non-fungible tushies. Hashtag buttstock exchange.
I know there's some photos popping up here now on the old Twitch screen, but I don't want a giant, like, you know, leopard-sized thumb. I like the butt. I don't need, like, the big thumb. I just need the big butt. You know what I'm saying?
This Tess woman on her arm ridge. On her arm ridge, she is a picture. She has a beautiful tattoo of Dolly Parton's face, and it's on her arm, and it's bigger than Dolly Parton's face.
It is.
And then she's got another face. It's some other model. That is stretched to almost monstrous proportion. And to you, this is heaven.
No, it's not heaven. Listen, again, I don't want, like, Road Trip? All right? I don't want that. I don't want that underwear size. Okay, but, you know, I just want the big
You're the one who remembers that scene. Okay. I remember the Tom Green scene. With the snake, but you That's remember right. some underwear. Yeah. Oh, when the skinny kid.
Yeah, the skinny kid gets in there. Not that big.
You watch adult films, you go straight like crushing?
Listen.
Like suffocation?
I'm a bigger man, right? I'm going to crush a small woman. It's how it is.
Okay.
So I got to raise it up. It's like ice hockey Nintendo. You know, you got the skinny guy, you got the middle guy, and you got the big guy. I'm somewhere between the middle and the big, you know?
Okay, because I'm letting you know that Joe, his epitome of beauty is a woman who weighs 300 pounds.
No, listen, she can be 300 pounds and be beautiful. I have no...
I didn't say she
couldn't.
I will
never fat shame any...
Who's fat shaming?
No one.
I'm saying it must be great. Your idea of beauty is woman who's 300 pounds. I mean,
a beauty could be is the eye of the beholder, and
Joe's a feminist.
No, I'll take little ones, big ones. It's like Tom Brady and his balls. You know, he likes them however he likes them. Like it's just how I like them.
Do you ever just like scatter Slim Jims around the beach and see if you could catch something?
No.
Okay. All right. Well, Joe, it's a big butt Wednesday just for you.
Butts day.
I just need you as Gordon Gekko of butts. I need to see that Photoshop.
Who was on the rise again?
Oh, what was her name?
Yeah, what butt stocks are on the rise?
Because it's funny, Rich, because I put big butt models, but they're all like thin models.
Oh, Barbie Ferreira.
Okay.
And he didn't know any of them. He had no time for them.
Bye. It's about to split.
But no, Ashley Graham is like the beginner. Like she's like the trendsetter, and then now everybody's
all
like,
right. So she's Amazon. All right. So she's the Amazon star.
And she's real, by the way, and spectacular.
Okay.
Okay. Yeah, she is real, real big. All right. Listen, that was fun. We will be back, and we'll talk about sports in just a moment.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Sports Hub. They get you going. They get you going every day.
He looks worse than me. Way worse than me.
Toucher and Rich.
And I don't look good.
On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Joe Murray and his love for big rears all morning long. This will be our bed. Butt theme songs. By the way, right in about 2 minutes is the opening of the gates for Patriots training camp, and I'm starting to see some of the pictures roll in. And first of all, it doesn't look like a ton of people. I mean, it looks like there's definitely a crowd. But, I mean, what you would see in the past is just this massive humanity all running for seats, and that should happen here in about a couple of minutes, maybe like a minute. And that's always going to be a video to judge just how passionate the fan base is now with Brady gone. But the one thing I am seeing a bunch of, Joe, is there are Tampa Bay jerseys all over the place.
It's disgusting.
I mean, they're all, like, I'm looking, wow. There's not as many as there are Patriots. That would be an exaggeration. But there are a lot of Tom Brady jerseys there.
Let me talk on this, please. Okay. Let me speak on this.
Sure.
Our show is known as not taking sports very seriously and kind of making fun of some of these things. This drives me insane. For we've been in this town since 2006, and the amount of protecting the wall and Goodell with the clown nose and the Patriots are getting screwed in the amount of garbage and Tom and again Bill Belichick drinking that orange juice with all you with your avatars, somehow that's how you wanted to symbolize your life, your identity to the public, was Bill Belichick sipping that orange juice and the just constant crying and bitching. And anyone who did sports talk radio during that time, I hear Felger talk about it all the time, and he's being genuine. And I've heard Bertrand talk about it, not so much Zoe, because Zoe, you know, had got to bask in it. But I've heard Bertrand talk about it. Obviously, Adam Jones has talked about this. This is where I draw the line. I understand sports is entertainment, and I understand it really doesn't matter. This is crazy. You all suck. You all suck. You and then you'll tweet and go, Fred. Yes, Fred. Everything you say is true. You guys are the biggest bunch of fraudulent posers, and I never use the word fraud, but you all do. You always use it. You fraud. The whole Deflategate nonsense that I had to sit through and all that crap that was made my life miserable. It was miserable. Lucrative, but miserable. And you all, and so I have mixed feelings about it, but you all now, you just don't, now that he's gone, you just don't care anymore. And it's the generation after Joe, because Joe, it was a fan of the, if you were a fan of the Patriots before Tom Brady, you have some semblance of how NFL works, that it's not all, you don't get handed candy every year, that there are growing pains, that, you know, that you stick with a team and you watch a team grow and all this. But some of these writers grew up just knowing nothing but success, and the writing tells the tale. So in these fans, you're all awful. The idea to Tampa Bay now. What are you going to do with the hundreds of dollars, the thousands of dollars you bought in stupid novelty merchandise with clown noses on everything? protesting and all this nonsense. And now you're all in there, and now you're showing up to camp with your Tampa Bay jerseys on. My Lord, one playoff, one season without the playoffs in this fan base is just, that Tampa Bay game is going to be just cringe-inducing. It's going to make me cringe the entire time. And if I had an extra, you know, $20 million laying around to buy a ticket, but I don't. So it's just, Rich, the fact that you said that does not surprise me.
Well, it shouldn't surprise. And I saw it as well. But I mean, but Fred, you know, the one thing you can say, like, if your problem was with the people who thought that Deflategate was a sham, that Tom Brady was wrong, and they're wearing a Bucks jersey, I don't have a problem with that. That means they're Brady fans. That doesn't mean they're Patriots fans.
No, they were protecting the wall. And everything you said about the Patriots, anything anyone said, you, me, anyone, the part-timers, Gary Tangway, anyone, was met with such vitriol in oh, you stupid Jet fan, and oh. And you know what? You know what? I'm a Jet fan. They stink, and they always will. But guess what? I sit in it, and I can't change. As much as I would love to, I can't.
All right.
And all my friends growing up are Lions fans, and they don't run around, you know, with L.A. Rams jerseys on now because Stafford's gone.
I know, but I, unlike you, don't have a problem with someone being a fan of Tom Brady's after he leaves.
That's fine.
Because you appreciate what he gave you. But, I do have a little bit of an issue wearing a Bucks Tom Brady jersey to Patriots camp because you know that Tom Brady don't like the Patriots and doesn't like the way it was handled. And there's no question about that anymore. The way he's been talking about how they handled him when he was leaving here.
Did you see
yesterday?
Yeah.
And by the way, I'll play this here. Because this
that said it was fun. And people who were like, this is the greatest. Is it really?
So
is it really the greatest?
If you had any question whether or not Tom Brady can't, like, is bitter towards the Patriots and how things ended here, yesterday, Matt Damon was on, I think, with Rich Eisen.
He's on the DP show.
That's right, with Popsicle's sign that you now own.
My possession.
It's in your possession. So he was on with Dan Patrick, and Dan Patrick asked a pretty good question of Matt Damon, and listen to Matt Damon's answer.
Let me give you the official introduction here. He's Matt Damon, actor, producer, screenwriter, and Tom Brady apologist, it says here.
I don't apologize for anything. Listen, I love that guy. I make no apologies.
Okay, if the Bucks played the Patriots in the Super Bowl, who would you root for?
Tom Brady.
Okay. All right. Hey, it's great to talk to you again, and thank you, Matt.
Go Bucks.
Go Tom.
Okay, so Tom Brady retweeted that interview and then put his own picture, and it's from Goodwill Hunting, and it says, "How you like them apples?" So Tom Brady is retweeting something that says, "I like Brady better than the Patriots." So, I mean, there's been nothing subtle about what he's been saying about how he felt he was treated, how he wants to shove it in their faces, how he called himself, what are you not going to sign? Like with Michael, imagine this happening with Michael Jordan or it happening with, you know, and I don't blame Tom Brady for feeling that way.
No, I don't care about Tom Brady.
As a matter of fact, in my opinion, he did everything right. He was the one that was wronged by the Patriots. I still think the Patriots were idiots for letting him to walk, and that is a that is a stance I have had since day one, and I have not changed it.
Was certainly no plan.
They
were idiots. They had no plan.
And that's where they were idiots. But right now, it almost seems like if you show up to Patriots camp wearing a Bucks Tom Brady jersey, that's an F you to the Patriots.
Well, you know what, Rich? And this is all silly and dumb and childish, but that's my whole point, is that your fan base acted that way for 20 effing years, like children, like little kids. Your whole identities were wrapped up in this team. Everything you presented to the world about yourself was Patriots fans. You took it personally, like you were somehow personally wronged by, if you dare talk about Spygate or if you talk about the Deflategate, you tell them to cheat. Belichick's in there. Belichick is playing chess and they're playing checkers. And the minute that your hero leaves, you all of a sudden, I shouldn't be surprised. You're children again, and you just and you run to the shiniest thing, run to the team that won the Super Bowl. Wear all these Tampa jerseys. I'd love to have all this disposable income too, to just keep hauling off and buying all these jerseys all over the place. Like you're 5 years old,
listen,
running around.
I was pissed at the Patriots when they let him go. I'm still pissed, but you know what? If when he comes here on week four. And you're not rooting for him to get destroyed, I don't know what to say to you. I don't know how you can be a Patriots fan and not root for that.
Or how you...
And by the way, it's a much funnier storyline if Tom Brady shows up. Because if he shows up and he sets the record and gets lights up, it's like, all right, he's the GOAT. But if he gets absolutely destroyed, dude, that's hysterical.
It's 100 times better. And as a Patriot fan, it would be the greatest.
Oh, it would be awesome.
It would be like go screw.
Right.
Go screw. Like, you know what? This is our town. You come into our building.
Yep.
And by the way, I don't necessarily feel this way. I'm saying that all of you have acted this way for 16 seasons. You've all acted this way. And now it's all gone. So I want to know what you do with all your clown nose Goodell shirts, all your stupid novelty items that you bought to stick it to everyone for some imaginary transgressions against you that didn't affect you at all. And now you're all super Bucks fans. Screw you. Took 1 year. 1 year for you guys.
1 year to lose your loyalty.
1 year for you. 1 year from everyone. And there are – and listen – it took 1 year for you to all turn tail and turn your back on this team. One mediocre season, by the way, guys. Not an 0-16 season. One mediocre season where you're a game under 500. One season for you to turn your back on this organization, and it's hysterical. And I wouldn't care if it was any other team. I wouldn't care because no other team acts like this in town. None. They didn't act nearly this childish at the Super Bowl. Oh, I just remember at that Phoenix Super Bowl, it was a cacophony of everything terrible. It was the middle of the flake gate. It was the 3 a.m. shows and just sitting there going, why? Why? I would rather be doing anything else in the world right now than dealing with you people. And it was the advent of like social media when I still cared. And like, it was just like everyone, shut up. You know, what are you talking about? But he's playing chess and you're playing checkers. You're a Jet fan. Yep. I'm a Jet fan. And you know what? I sit in it. And as much as I would love to like a team that wins, I can't.
You're ride or die.
No, because I don't know how. I literally couldn't do it. I would love to. I've tried a million times. I've tried. I don't. Why? Why do I like this team? I don't know. But here I am, and I can't get rid of it, and I never will be able to. And even my son makes fun of me. I'm like, let's go to the Patriots Jets game. He goes, why? The Jets are just going to get killed. And I said,
because that's
yes,
you. That is your team.
But you sit in it, Milo. Sit in it. Like a real man. Like something that sucks for a while.
You wish you knew how to quit him.
I do.
Bro Pack Freddy.
I do.
Someone said, Fred, don't lie. You have a Sam Darnold Panthers jersey in the closet.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Big Panthers fan. You know how many jerseys when I bought jerseys I have? Mo Wilkerson, Daryl Revis, Leonard. Altoon, but he Altoon's okay with me. Oh my God, the amount of jerseys I have. Vilma. Oh my God, the amount of jerseys. And always like, well, he was a first round pick. He'll be around for a while. Shade Tree Jones. I have a jersey of his. And I always buy these jerseys and go, all right, this guy's going to stick around for Jamal Adams. These guys are going to, I bought my son a Jamal Adams jersey. I'm like, don't worry. He's going to be around for a while. Nope. We suck. Gotta get rid of him. He's good. Gotta get rid of him. Now they won the trade, but all right. But that's a Jets Super Bowl. You won the trade. You got rid of your good player for too much. That's a Jets Super Bowl. So have fun in going to training camp too.
Yeah,
going to camp wearing that.
Now it's a middle finger to the Patriots.
Like, what are you for?
Right.
All right. And by the way, if you're a real ride or die Pats fan, then you should love what I'm saying. This I should be speaking to you directly, but you little kids are going to get all pissed off at me, which is great. I revel in it. And then when they don't win the Super Bowl this year, they'll lose another swath of fans. And it will be like when I was growing up, and you were growing up, Rich, when I didn't even know the Patriots existed because they never were on TV because they were always terrible until they made that joke of a Super Bowl where they just had to lay down. All right. We'll be back in just a moment to hear the headline.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
And Rich.
That's got to be a soul-killing exercise.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Colin Paul, Bubba Sparks.
Booty, booty, yeah. Booty, booty, rockin' never well. Booty, 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 rockin' never well. Booty, 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 rockin' never well. Booty, booty, booty,
booty, rockin' never well. Oh, there's booty everywhere.
Yeah, let me bring it back to me.
All right, 985, the Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. We're talking about Patriots fans. Now, I have become a passionate Bruins fan over the last 16 years, and I don't see that changing, no matter where I move. And I got to tell you guys, the team has been rational this offseason. The team has signed players to reasonable deals, but they are making me very scary. Landeskog just signed an 8-year deal.
Dude, 8 years and what, $7 million a year or something like that?
He signed a long deal that he was not going to get anywhere else.
So that guy is gone. He is not on that. I know that you and Wallach coveted him.
And Sutter looks like, Suter rather, it looks like he's going to Dallas. And Martinez, the kid that Ty Anderson liked, the kid, the man that he liked, has been signed as well. So. Yesterday, the team signed Mike Riley to a very reasonable deal, 3 years, $3 million per. Great. He's going to deal team with Carlo. He's not a penalty kill guy, though. So you have your top two defensive pairings. You still need a depth defenseman because John Moore's not that guy. And you now have brought the band back together, and if you sign Krejci...
Which it sounds like they're going to do. It just has not been announced. It sounds like everything is ready to go. I don't know the terms, but it sounds like it's going to happen.
Okay, so you have $17 million left in cap space, mm-hmm. and David Krejci will get $4 million of that. $5 million, maybe five for 1 year, maybe. I guess Charlie Coyle makes five, maybe five.
They're not going to give him five. I think they'll just knowing Don Sweeney and what he's able to do.
Fine, four.
Yeah, let's say it's about
four or five, whatever. It doesn't matter. It really doesn't matter for the sake of my argument.
Yeah.
Still gives you $12 million. Now, you're not going to extend McAvoy this offseason because you rip up the 4.9 you're paying him, which is very reasonable for this season, and then you're going to have to break the bank for the kid. So, you got a lot of money. And even Fluto Shinzawa now is writing, even if they sign Krejci, they can sign a center.
Well, Fred, they have to.
Where's this money going? Your top two defensive pairings are now set.
They might get another one. They'll get a depth piece.
They'll get a left shot defenseman to pair with.
I just read Blake Coleman maybe in the mix. He's going to be $5 million a year, if that's the case.
Well, Coleman's name is one of those that's been linked to the team.
That's $5 million a year right there.
Yeah, I've seen a lot of people throwing him out there. He's great, obviously. Really? But
So then why did you sign Riley?
Well, I think they need that third pairing, right? I mean, they have...
You're going to pay a guy $5 million?
They're paying $5 million for Riley and John Moore. It's not great. It's not.
No, but you're saying if they're in on another defenseman for $5 million, your third pairing defenseman is going to make $5 million. And by the way, with defensive pairings, it does matter because you're just not going to be on the ice. So are you moving Riley to your third pairing? Are you moving Grizzlick down?
Someone's moving Grizzlick maybe. I don't know. You know, Grizzlick had struggles last year. Turned the puck over, got hit.
Grizzlick, I don't think Grizzlick. Well, the ideal was that Suter was going to pair with McAvoy, and then Grizzlick would pair with Carlo. That was the idea. And then Suter would be your main penalty kill guy and would not be involved at all in the power play. So, but he would be your main on your top penalty kill line. And now time is ticking away here. They got $17 million. You just bring the gang back together. You did no one any favors.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I do agree.
You're not winning the cup.
Yep, I agree with you here.
I mean, you had an opportunity here to go make a big splash. Let's make a big splash. Let's not screw around. Because right now you're just bringing back what lost to the Islanders with a younger goaltender. And you still got to sign a goaltender. Oh, by the way, shockingly, like the guy said, Marc-Andre Fleury not coming to the Bruins.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's a weird situation, though. What's going on with that? Have you heard it's like he might not end up playing, even though he was I'm trying to get the details on that, but there was something weird about the whole thing that even though that he was, you know, sent to Chicago, he might end up not playing after all this is said and done. So, I mean, I don't know where his head's at and why that guy thought that he would be good for the Bruins, but I think we're just seeing that's his...
Sometimes we have people on the air with us. Sometimes we have people on the air with us. I'm like, what are you talking about? Like, they're not going to do that. What was the thing? Oh, and the guy from ESPN, he said they were going to hire Carlisle. The Celtics.
Oh, yeah.
Not Carlisle. Even Carlisle.
No. It was Mike D'Antoni.
He's like, the Celtics are talking to Mike D'Antoni. You're like, what? Like, this is what you do for a living? Like, I would bet literally every cent that I have that they don't hire him. And I would bet every cent that I have that the Bruins weren't going to trade for a goaltender making $7 million a year. What are you coming on the radio and telling us? Like, why are you on here? Like, you're supposed to know more than us. Like, stop this.
Speaking of that, I apologize. Coleman would be your forward. That would help move.
Oh, Cole.
That would move Coyle over.
Okay, Coleman. All right. I was going to say. All right. So, speaking of
guys who don't know what the hell they're talking about.
All right. Yeah. Well, listen, when the free agent names start popping up, I get confused as well. I can't. That's why we have people on to talk.
But did they really improve on defense? No.
No. Well, they didn't improve at all on defense. They got worse on defense. Yeah. So, no, they got worse on defense. So, by losing Lauzon, because Lauzon was a big penalty kill guy. So they got worse on defense. So there is a time to make a splash. And so, great. So then you bring in another center, and then you got a guy who's making $5 million a year as your fourth line center. And then what are you going to do with Lazar, who I actually liked, centering your fourth line? So it is time for them to do something. Probably tomorrow we'll have someone on who knows what they're talking about and allow them to educate us and hopefully not bring up things like bringing Fleury.
But as of right now, the band's getting back together.
Yeah, which is not good news. But they still have plenty. They have plenty of money.
I love this team. It's a great team, but team has proven that they need more.
They're not winning a cup with this team. All right, we'll be right back.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.